following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No, I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, our producer, engineer, Jeff Babel. Glad to have you along with us on this July the 16th.
Feel like July.
That's okay.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
It will next week. If football time is here, we're going to be talking with Justin Coleman. He's going into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. Of course, maybe the greatest quarterback at UNK history. Definitely one of the top two.
He's number one, I think.
Spitz? I mean, I'm just saying.
Spitz was pretty solid, but you take a look at the overall career. I don't want to dismiss Jake Spitzberger either. So Spitz was a quality quarterback, but. Yes. Take a look at the body of work. Yeah. As good as Spitz was, he didn't finish second in the Division II Heisman.
Yeah. So we'll talk with Justin. We're also going to move on with our Indiana on Big Ten preview today. Our 14 teams in 14 days. We'll be taking a look at Indiana today. And joining us from the Bloomington Herald-Times will be Andy Graham, pinch hitting for Dustin Dupurek, who has been on the program numerous times. Also, Donnie Miller, Minden. Going to join us. Their Junior Legion team qualified for state last night, and I'll be honest, I don't remember the last time I said that Minden's Legion baseball team qualified for state at either level, and he can fill me in on that as well. They had a good performance last night, won the area tournament. We'll get into all of that a little bit later on, but Donnie Miller next segment, bottom of the hour, Indiana football, and at the last segment of the show, our Loper Link today around 11:45 with Justin Coleman. Want to start with the All-Star game last night, and I guess I didn't think about it either until Colin Cowherd brought it up today. Couple of things, well, more than a couple of things. I guess I'll just throw off what's on the top of my head. Again, yesterday we were talking about Derek Jeter. Cool, everything was great there. I think they overdid it, but I knew they were going to overdo it, so that's fine, whatever. Colin Cowherd pointed out that there was no mention of Tony Gwynn, who recently passed last night, and usually those are the first things that are brought up time and time and time and time and time again. I mean, I'm not going to say that Derek Jeter is or isn't on the same level of Tony Gwynn, but they're the same respected.
Well, both Hall of Famers. Hall of Famers, loved, beloved by their organizations, and always been class acts.
Same respect.
Yeah.
And did it with class, as you said, on both sides. So I thought that was an interesting point out last night, and I thought it was an entertaining game. You got some, everybody thought, oh, it's going to be 1-0, 2-0. You got some offense right off the bat. It's 3-2 after the first inning. Then you saw some good pitching performances, and some of the stars, Cabrera, Trout, Jeter, they do the things that they're supposed to do.
And there was even some nice defense in there as well. I mean, there was some nice defensive plays and a little bit of offense. There was something in there for a little bit of everybody. And I think they did a nice job of getting as many players into the game as they realistically could. And again, if you're I remember a few years ago, only one Cincinnati Red got in, was an All-Star, didn't even get in the game, and how disappointing that was. So I think they did a nice job at getting as many different players in there. So if you had a favorite player that was in the All-Star game, you had a chance to watch them play. So it was kind of nice to see that.
If you'd like to get a hold of us today, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Twitter address is at ESPN 1460 and 1550. For the Royals last night, Salvador Perez, he had to go against Clayton Kershaw in his at-bat, grounded out the third. Had one of Felix Hernandez's pitches get away from him, but he did get to play four innings last night as a starter. Greg Holland came in, had a perfect seventh inning on the mound. Alex Gordon was there, but as we knew, wasn't going to play because of the wrist sprain. So that's what happened with them last night.
And I do think it's neat. You have a guy like Alex that says, hey, I'm not playing. Somebody else needs to come in and replace me. He still gets to go out there for the introduction for the reserves. And again, I think that's a nice thing. I don't remember if the major leagues has always done that. Maybe they have. I don't know. But it was really the first time I remember thinking, hey, I thought he wasn't going to be there. And they did the introduction. So it's nice to see that. Because, again, you're a fan of a team, you're a fan of a player, they make the All-Star team, you want to kind of see them as much as you can, even if it's just an introduction.
Taking a look and keeping you up to date on how Michael Colgate's doing down in Kansas, he shot 4-over-75 yesterday in his second round at the U.S. Amateur Pub Links after being tied for the lead at 5-under-66. Again, bottom line is you just got to make the top 64 to get into match play. His score of 1-under through 2 days, tied for 17th. Today he is playing a German in Ben Marvin Egel, and right now 1-up through 11 holes. Michael Colgate, 1-up through 11 holes. There have been 5 holes that have been 6 that have been tied, and right now Colgate has the lead after picking up a win on 8 and 10. He is 1-up, and if he wins, he advances to the round of 32 tomorrow.
Yeah, I love playing match play style golf, too, because I get to pick up my ball a lot because I've already lost the hole, so it saves a little bit of time.
It's over a lot quicker.
Yeah, it does move it on.
On the amateur ranks here in the state, the Teal sisters, who we will continue to hear about from Wahoo, it was Hannah beating her sister Haley, who is the defending champ. Hannah's the younger of the two. She wins the Nebraska girls amateur. They play 36 holes. The boys play 54 down at Beatrice. Alex Shockey of Omaha, who won the match play, Carson, one of those, I get them all confused. But Alex, the Shockey name, has been right there, and he's got an 8-shot lead going into the final. 5-under par for the youngster.
Wow. 8-shot lead, 5-under par. That is getting it done.
So there you go, a couple of notes.
I don't think he'll have to pay for college if I had to guess.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, still making payments myself, so that's a good thing.
A very good thing. Legion Baseball, it wrapped up the regular season last night for Hastings Johnson Imperial Home, splitting their doubleheader with Lincoln North Star, winning the first game 8-3, dropping the nightcap by a score of 4-1. As we mentioned, Minden won the B5 Juniors, and we'll talk with Coach Donnie Miller here in a minute. The B6 Juniors, McCook, eliminated Broken Bow 15-9. They will play Holdridge in McCook for the championship tonight. Holdridge is the undefeated team. Palmer Wallback Greeley beat Dannebrog Carroll Bullis 6-4 to win the C6 Juniors. They're headed up to Creighton and the C7 Juniors. It was Alma taking a pair of games last night from Shelton Gibbon. The first one goes extra innings, 3-0 in 8 innings. They play 7. And Chase Conert, hope I say the name right, pitched the whole game for Alma, 15 strikeouts and a one-hitter, and then Alma come back and won the second game 13-3 to head to the state tournament, also up in Creighton.
A one-hitter in 8 innings. Wow. In an elimination game. Oh, that's yeah. I'm trying to think of the guy that pitched 10 innings for the Twins 20-some-odd years
ago. Jack Morris,
yeah. It's very much like that.
See, and there's another thing, okay? There's another thing. Just small pet peeves, and I was listening without divulging which show, but in the last week here, 2 or 3 times different radio shows, and I realized, you know what? One of the main reasons we have these radio talk shows is to complain. It's not so much to compliment and point out great things. And I try.
Here's what you missed.
Every once in a while, though, that's what makes you listen. You complain. They showed me, and I mentioned all day yesterday during the sportscast, okay, they tell us the baseball game's going to start at 7. It'll start at whatever they decide after 7 because of all the pregame ceremonies. They show me all this crap last night in the pregame ceremony, but on tape delay, they show me the ceremonial first pitch by Rod Carew.
It was on last night. I was watching the pregame stuff. They showed Rod Carew's first ceremonial first pitch.
I know. After the fact, they didn't show it live.
You're right. They didn't
show it. It was in the first inning or second inning or something. I'm going, of all the crap you showed me, and each organization, each town has to pick out something different to honor and salute and carry it out because it's their show, and that's fine, and I get it. But, I mean, national anthem and first pitch. Okay, when we're growing up, and okay, I sound like the old fuddy-duddy here. What else was there? There was the national anthem and the first pitch. And most Major League Baseball games that you go to these days, Randy, what else is there in the pregame? National anthem, first pitch. I mean, they announce the starting lineups. The guys don't run out there. But, I mean, every game has the national anthem and the first pitch. And I can't think of – am I missing anything?
No.
So
– I think there's a ball – you know, some people do a ball delivery and stuff like that.
50 minutes of pregame, the only two things that we need to see – and on the All-Star game, so there's three things. The introduction of the players, the national anthems, because anthems, Canada, Toronto, and the ceremonial first pitch with one of the greatest players in the history of baseball, Rod Carew.
Nah. And a great connection to Minnesota there, too.
Nah.
We watched via the DVR. We started about 45 minutes late so we can avoid commercials, except I wanted to make sure my daughter saw the the Jeter commercial. So, by the way, you know, I get to sit and watch with baseball with my 21-year-old daughter. I'm a happy dad, actually. Anyway, we skipped the national anthem. To me, watching the national anthem on television is so awkward. I don't know whether to stand, cover my heart, take my hat off.
Yeah, they had two or three different songs from the same gal. Yeah. And then, of course, they do
and she's got a great voice.
God Bless America, Joe Nichols, and all that. I'm just saying there's so much more and more and more.
Yeah, they keep adding on to it. And you know what? The game was a little long. It does get a little long. I do think baseball
the game's
needs
long
to.
Because they put all that
other stuff. Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah. Stuff.
And again, taking Jeter out after he's already taken his position so he gets that nice round of applause, that sort of thing. Having a moment like that, don't have any problem with that adding on to the game time. That's not a problem. But you're right, all that other stuff. And I think they're going to have to come to a realization that maybe they need to – maybe less is more, because I really worry about the future popularity of baseball in terms of getting people to sit there and want to watch it all night. Not too many people are going to do what you and I do and sit there and watch it all night.
Folks,
It's too long.
Your comments on the All-Star game, our Midtown Mark Cooler question we'll give you later on is about the British Open, which tees off tomorrow, or anything that's going on in the world of sports. Love to hear from you here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. When we come back, we'll talk with Minden Junior coach Donnie Miller about their trip to the state tournament and Justin Coleman, plus Indiana football. It's all coming up.
Some days, getting started is tough. It takes you longer than it used to get up and go. Maybe you need to lose a couple of pounds. Get back in shape. It's time to start something new. ManCore, with our most powerful all-natural male supplements. ManCore helps you tighten your core and shed pounds fast. Build increased strength and stamina, plus a powerful formula to help you sleep all night like you earned it. ManCore is for any guy who wants to look better, feel better, and most of all, perform better. Ask your complete nutrition success coach about ManCore and start something new today. This month only, get 30% off your ManCore 3-pack. Complete nutrition. Success starts here.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? as authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Here's your WeatherEye forecast powered by WeatherEyeology.com. Partly sunny skies for today. A few showers and storms are possible. Highs will top out near 71 degrees. Winds southeasterly 5 to 10 miles per hour. Right now it's 66.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Back with you here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, where right now the Chevy Summer Drive event is underway. 0% for 60 months on your 2014
That's cruise. 5 years to you and me.
And Impala models. That's correct.
Thank you.
That's correct.
Thank
so what year would that be?
That would be 2019. From now.
Okay. 0% APR as well on 72 months.
That'd be another year. That'd be 6 years from now.
You can get that on 2014 Silverado light and heavy duty pickups through the end of the month. So be sure to stop by and see your Midway Auto dealer, the Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac folks, for the Chevy Summer Drive event. Midway, a better way. ThinkMidway.com. And don't forget to get registered for the Kawasaki Vulcan 900 and a free skydive package courtesy of Atlas Skydive that Midway will be giving away in August. The contest runs through the end of the month, so don't miss out on your chance to be a big winner from Midway.
No interest until the year 2020. Wrap your mind around 2020.
I don't want to wrap my mind around how old we shall all be in 2020. Wasn't there a song like that? Oh, wait.
2525.
Yeah.
And that the band was?
I knew you were Zagger and Evans.
They're from?
Lincoln.
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Speaking of Lincoln, you were you were in Lincoln Monday night rocking it out.
Yeah. Went to Pinnacle Bank Arena, saw Sir Paul, had pretty good seats. Felt the heat from a couple of explosions coming off, if that's any indication.
Wait a minute.
The seats were okay.
They let you back in there?
they do. They do. My brother had a few comments related to that as well.
I've been waiting 48 hours to use that, by the way.
Yeah. You know, I got out of there. No tickets were issued. It's like one in a row.
That's awesome.
It's like one in a row.
Well, they're headed up to Creighton, and a great job by the Minden Juniors. And to tell us more about them, Donnie Miller, the coach of Kearney County, because it's more than just kids from Minden, as we all know. And Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Donnie, good morning. Congratulations.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it.
Well, you're going to have to fill me in on this team of yours. I'm watching them, and I told Randy at the top of the show, and you'll have to give me a date if you know the last time one of the Minden teams made it to a state tournament.
Well, I can give you that, and I'm going to date myself because I was involved with that one, too. That makes me kind of an old geezer. our juniors made it to state in 1984. I also coached that group, and it was pretty special group just like this one. Actually, if we were talking last night, I do have one person from that team who has a son that's on this one. So that's pretty cool.
Coach, obviously you got a great pitching performance the other night from Matt Ekstrom. Talk a little bit about what he's been able to do for you all year, and in particular what he was able to do against Albion the other night.
Well, I tell you, you know, Matt's a pretty special kid. We had kind of an unusual circumstance with our seniors. We had some unexpected injuries. We lost a lot of kids. Mitchell Moeller, we lost him for the year. Brandon Sinsel lost him for the year. And what ties into that is those two kids were our 2-3 pitchers, our corner infielders, and our 4-5 hitters. And then we lost a couple of other kids during the course of the senior season. And with that, how that ties in with Matt is that Matt then basically became, instead of our juniors number one, he became our seniors number two, and really only made probably three starts for our juniors the entire summer. So he probably pitched against, I would say, very, very tough competition all summer and really, really responded well to it.
We're talking with Donnie Miller. He's the head coach of the Kearney County junior baseball team. They won 5-4 last night. Coach, you're cruising along in this area tournament. You're the last undefeated team, and Aurora, to stay alive, they did it, and they thumped you. And sometimes that's hard to come back from when, even though it's just a one win and you go. Well, what was the message to the team after that first loss?
Well, you know, Doug, it was, you know, I wanted to make sure I tried to, I guess, convey to them to say the right thing so that they left that night, you know, feeling better than certainly they than they were feeling. You know, it was one of those deals. I said, hey, all the bounces went somebody else's way tonight, you know, but fortunately, you know, we still got another chance to do something about it tomorrow. And I just said, hey, go home and dream big and let's go try to get her done.
There's a couple of players that I know fairly well because when they were younger, I helped coach a team that they were on, and that's Sturgis Hansen and Cody Nickel. I always thought, and again, I love the Hansen's game, but Cody is such a premier athlete. He's really been a fairly important offensive cog for you all season long, hasn't he?
Oh, wow, Randy. I tell you, and both those kids, you know, Sturgis is probably – we've got two or three kids pitching-wise between Matt and Josiah Levin and Sturgis, and those guys are inning eaters. They're good kids. And Sturgis is a whale of a player. He's our four hitter as well. Cody, you know, that kid plays doubleheaders every night. He starts on the seniors. He probably hit above 400 for the seniors, and certainly a little bit better than that, higher than that for our juniors. I mean, They're both pretty special kids, to say the least, and man, I'm glad they're playing for us.
Time with Donnie Miller. He's the head coach of Kearney County Juniors, and they won the area tournament last night and are headed to the Class C state. You had a nice little trip every time, too. I mean, Central City's not just across the street here for your ball club. What were the trips like? Because you made multiple trips up and back here.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we were late every night. It was 7 o'clock for three nights and 8 o'clock for two, and kind of getting used to as we rolled in this morning about 1 o'clock and makes, you know, for some pretty short nights. But you know, it's maybe a little bit different when you're winning. Maybe you don't feel as tired. Maybe your arm isn't quite as sore and that kind of thing. So we were I think kids were pretty resilient that way too.
Well, Donnie, now you got to dust yourself off, get ready for state. What are those preparations looking like? What's kind of the game plan as you get ready to head up to Creighton?
Well, actually, Randy, I think the B is at I may correct you. I think B is at Aurora.
Or Aurora.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I had C in my head. I apologize.
And no problem. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We told our dual roster kids last night. Said, hey, you know, you need to back off for a day or so. Tonight we're gonna practice with our seniors and get them ready to go. They play on Friday out at Cozad and then we're gonna get the juniors together again on Thursday and probably do some light stuff, some hitting, probably not much throwing and maybe get a couple of kids some bullpen sessions and things like that and just try to be focused on and you know, finding out by then certainly who will play and I believe it's the B2 winner, which I'm not sure. There was a lot of things that were finalized this morning, so I'm not sure who that is, but we'll find out here in the next day or so.
Could get to play in the morning, Donnie.
We could, and that would be okay too. I was wondering how our kids would adjust to playing late every night. In fact, would have been maybe on Monday when O'Neill and Albion, I guess it was, would have went nine innings and that pushed us back a little bit, but kids hung in there and, you know, really didn't let the time or the time of day bother them at all.
Hey, when you guys won, what was kind of the team's reaction? I mean, obviously they're happy, but did you get a sense that, you know, let's not celebrate too much because we still have some work to do? Or what was their attitude? Because it's been a while since you guys have been able to go to state.
Well, yeah, you know, they dogpiled, and I guess probably the old man in me said, hey, now, guys, let's go shake their hands first. But I didn't want to put my thumb on them too much because you know, this has been a group that's really grown. You know, at one time we were probably not looking real good. I remember I think we were about 3-6 at one time, and now being 17-10, I think, you know, we certainly made some strides, and some kids kind of found their way, and we had a lot of kids really step up. But it was great to see them celebrate. Probably in some ways a little surreal for me, a little emotional, just because of being so long since that happened. And I had Coach Lovin, I had told him when he talked me into coming back, I said, well, I'll do it for 5 years. So this is it. So that makes it pretty neat for me too, I suppose. Being a little selfish there.
Is it official, or are you going to pull a Brett Favre and change your mind?
No, I think it's pretty official. There's been some that have tried to twist my arm here lately, but I'm going to probably stick with it.
Donnie, we'll let you out of here with it looks like it's Blair that you're going to get, who beat Omaha Roncalli last night. And we know that Blair has had a great, great baseball program over the years. I'm sure, obviously, no scouting report yet, but do you already know who you're going to put on the mound and how you're going to approach your first opponent?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, Doug, it's going to be any one of three kids. Probably it's going to be either, you know, Sturgis Hanson or Josiah Levin or Matt. And not real sure. I know. Actually, I was talking to a guy this morning, and going back then to '84, we actually got beat in the semifinals that year by Blair, and I do remember they were a little different on a different level than we were even back then, so you know, our work's going to be cut out for us, but it's going to be I think a great experience for these kids. They've taken a step that probably some of them didn't think they could take, and that'll be pretty special.
Well, Donnie, whatever the case may be, enjoy it. Congratulations with these kids, and you're right back after it again this weekend. So thanks for all you've done for the youngsters in every sport, and hey, make this swan song last a while.
Hey, absolutely. You know, I'm soaking it up. It's like I said, it's been quite a ride and a lot of fun. It's a great group of kids. I'm pretty lucky to be connected with them. Appreciate you guys covering us, and thanks for all your support.
You bet, Donnie. Let's get a lot of fans over there. It's over at Aurora. I misspoke looking at all the brackets here. Donnie Miller, the head coach of the Kearney County Junior Legion baseball team. And, again, nothing official is out yet, and we'll keep an eye on that. But unofficially, Blair, and it's the first game, so I'm guessing it'll be that morning game around 10:30. Everybody does it a little bit different over at Aurora.
Yeah, well, the home team usually plays those late games, but you know, the host is already kind of scheduled for that late game. Times aren't in there, but every area champion knows what area champion they're going to play. So
the McCook-Holdridge winner will play Aurora because the area 6 will play the host, so we know that as well. Aurora getting in, whoever wins out of that tonight, and that would be the final game on Saturday night.
Again, not officially set, but that's what it'll be. It'll be the late game.
Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, who will win more games next season, Cleveland with LeBron or Miami without LeBron? And then, of course, Dwayne Wade made it official and signed yesterday with the Miami Heat. A little closer than I expected. 56% voted for the Cleveland Cavs, 44% for the Miami Heat. We ask you now, who is your pick to win the British Open, which you'll hear Saturday and Sunday here on ESPN. Coverage begins tomorrow, of course. Phil, Tiger, Rory, one of the other top 10 golfers, or the field? And some of those top 10 are Adam Scott, Justin Rose, Bubba Watson, Matt Kuchar, Jordan Spieth.
I always take the field. I you know, your odds are that way. But I always feel that that's kind of a chicken answer when I'm on the air here. So I'll say Rory.
Yeah, I'm taking the field because I said yesterday I think it'll be somebody at 50-1 or higher in the odds. But if I have to pick one of these 10 or 11 players, I would take Adam Scott because he continues to be so close. And I know he's number one in the world, but
And I love his work on Park and Rec, Park and Recreation. I love his work on Park and Rec.
Yeah, we'll take a break and be back with a little 14 teams in 14 days. Andy Graham, Bloomington Herald Times. Justin Coleman, former Loper quarterback, still to come.
Looking for a great job? Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating is currently hiring service plumbers and heating and cooling technicians. Experience is preferred, but if you're hardworking and dependable, Anderson Brothers is willing to provide training. You'll benefit from an excellent starting wage and a great benefit package, which includes health insurance, 401k, and a cafeteria plan. To apply or for further information, stop in person at Anderson Brothers Kearney or Holdridge location during regular business hours. Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating, an equal opportunity employer.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just a great happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on, North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Register now for the Nebraska 10-Stand Clays Championship going on Sunday, July 20th at the Four River Sportsman's Club. Proceeds from the Nebraska 10-Stand Clays Championship benefit the Hastings College shooting team. Come out for a day of fun, food, vendors, and prizes for the top shooters. Registration is $55 for the first entry and $45 for a re-entry, with advanced registrations receiving a free lunch ticket. For more information, contact Jim at 402-462-0103 or log on to 4rsc.com. It's the Nebraska 10-Stand Clays Championship, sponsored by the Four River Sportsman's Club and the Hastings Gun Show.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along with us. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to preview Iowa. We're going to bring in UNK Hall of Famer Beth Swift, who's now Beth Swift Guy, two sports, which, you know, I always think the high school kids go, oh, yeah, I got a chance to play, and how many times it actually turns out that they do get to play two sports, but she was pretty good at tennis and women's basketball, two-time RMAC player of the year, one-year co-player of the year.
That is really kind of a neat deal. And Division II, you're much more likely to be able to do that. And you do get those stories of Division I players, you know, Jameis Winston, playing a little football and a little baseball, you know.
He's okay.
But in Division II, you do run into that a little bit more, and in the NAIA level as well. It's kind of neat.
Let's do football!
It's that time, 14 teams in 14 days, leading you up to Big Ten Media Days, July 28th and 29th in Chicago. We'll preview a different team each day. We'll head to the Big Ten East Division for today's team.
Indiana.
The Hoosiers. It's time for 14 teams in 14 days now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
And to talk a little Indiana Hoosier football, we're still waiting to play these guys, by the way. We you know, the last time we played Indiana, I think there was Lee Corso.
Yeah.
Lee Corso was around, wasn't he? I don't know. Andy Graham from the Bloomington Herald Times, pinch hitting for Dustin Dvorak today. And Andy, Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you here on ESPN Radio in Nebraska. How are you?
I'm really well, thanks. I'm on vacation, so I'm grooving at this point.
Well, thanks for fitting us in on vacation. I wanted to talk to us.
He does not show up. Yeah, he does not show up when he's on vacation on this radio show. I'm just saying that right now.
Andy, let's jump into it so we don't use up too much of your vacation time here this morning. Indiana improved to 5-7, fourth year. Kevin Wilson, we talked Illinois yesterday, and they seem to be about that year behind where you guys are. Progress, progress, progress. Beckman's going into his third year, and now I think expectations are pretty high if they can get some defense. Everybody seems to love Indiana's offense.
Yeah, I think it's here's a stat for you that I think really kind of sums things up. Last year, when Indiana held the opposition to 41 or fewer points, Indiana was 5-0. So what does that tell you? I think, you know, Nebraska folks can relate a little bit to prolific offense being undermined by underperforming defense. I don't think it's accidental that the Huskers and the Hoosiers both have new defensive coordinators, but yeah, I think people are pretty excited, actually, by Indiana football standards around here. The offense has set 22 school records in 3 years under Kevin Wilson, and last year they averaged 508 yards a game. In fact, I think Indiana, Baylor, and Florida State were the only three teams in the country to average 300 passing yards and 200 rushing yards a game. So they're obviously there's obviously a lot of reasons why people feel good about the potential in terms of how prolific the offense has been. And the big question is whether the defense can get a little better. And I don't think it has to get a lot better. I think it just has to aspire to and perhaps attain mediocrity. If it does that, Indiana's going to win some games.
Andy, as you mentioned, Indiana had pretty good balance, really, in terms of, you know, passing yards, rushing yards, that sort of thing. But, again, Nebraska fans around here haven't had a chance to watch Indiana play since Nebraska and Indiana have not hooked up yet. Kind of explain a little bit what works so well for Indiana offensively.
I think they scheme really well. I think Kevin Wilson is really good at that. I mean, you guys probably know from his days at Oklahoma, he's been doing this for a while. They've got a new defensive coordinator this year. It's a really smart young coach named Kevin Johns, who had been the quarterback coach previously. I don't think it's going to affect things. Kevin's, both of them are really good at just sort of out-scheming the opposition. And I think that they have a lot to work with also. I mean, Indiana's always been able to recruit skill position guys reasonably well over the years. They're starting to get linemen, and this year's offensive line, for example, they've been playing young kids, but they've got 130 offensive line starts coming back. If you look at the entire group of personnel, and even so, only two of the guys responsible for that are seniors now. So it's still a relatively young team. But I think that when I talk to other coaches, they talk about how Indiana out-schemes people. Part of it is tempo. Most of it is scheme. They're really good at gauging how the defense is aligned and how to attack that.
We're talking with Andy Graham of the Bloomington Herald Times here on the Doug and Daddy Show, previewing Indiana on our Big Ten preview today. Andy, I don't know if this is an exact comparison, but it seems like Nebraska basketball and Indiana football would be somewhat comparable. Tough to get things turned around and tough to ascend in the conference because there are so many powers in each sport. What's the culture right now around Indiana football now that they seem to have started to win some football games?
Well, I don't think it's a bad analogy, actually. I mean, I think in Nebraska you've got really nice new basketball facilities, and Indiana has really nice new football facilities. I was talking to Cam Cameron, who's a former Indiana head coach, who's now the offensive coordinator at LSU. And Cam's, you know, been around the Southeastern Conference now. He's been around the Big Ten. He's been in the NFL, obviously. And when he visited Indiana's North End Zone complex a few weeks ago for the first time, he was pretty gobsmacked. He said this, you know, he said there are some schools that are 100-plus, like Nebraska or Ohio State or whatever, he said, but this is very competitive. When recruits come here, they're going to understand that there's a commitment that has been made to football. And so I think that's really changed things quite a bit. And I think also, I mean, recruits are seeing some guys get to the league now. I mean, there are some NFL prospects on Indiana's team. I mean, Nate Sudfeld, the quarterback, is going to be the number one guy now that Trey Roberson has transferred. You know, Sudfeld is a guy that passed for 2,500 yards last year, even while sharing time. Tevin Coleman, the tailback, averaged 7.3 yards per carry. Cody Latimer was a first-round draft pick as a wideout last year. They're starting to see guys be in position. I think a couple of the offensive linemen are NFL guys. So the recruiting's picked up. Indiana's recruiting classes the last couple of years have been ranked in the 30s nationally by Rivals.com, and I think their current class that they're accumulating is going to be the same thing. I think it comes down to coaching and facilities. I think that you guys have that out of Nebraska basketball now. And I think some of the folks around here feel like Indiana football has some of that in place as well.
Well, obviously, Kevin Wilson's kind of his pedigree is on the offensive side. Defense, though, is kind of the area that Indiana's hoping to make the best improvement next year. And if they're going to pick up some more wins, that's where they're going to have to improve. What is the outlook for Indiana's defense?
It's interesting. They're probably going to shift to primarily a 3-4 look rather than a 4-3 because Brian Knorr, the new defensive coordinator who had previously been at Wake Forest, that's what he prefers to do. And I actually think it suits Indiana's returning personnel pretty well. It's going to be interesting. I mean, Wake Forest did not have a good team last year, but his defense ranked number 36 nationally. And I think the caliber of athlete they have at Wake Forest is probably pretty comparable with what Indiana probably has available for him to work with here. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works out. I think anytime a team transitions defensive scheme, there's going to be a bit of an adjustment period. But I do think it suits Indiana's personnel well. I think a big, if people are asking whether or not Indiana's going to get over the hump to get to a bowl game this year, I think they're going to be capable of that. I think the defense will improve at least marginally, and they'll be capable of it. If something holds back this year, it may be the schedule. They've only got 6 home games this year. And, of course, it's the first year of the conference divisional arrangement, and Indiana's in the Big Ten East, which, let's face it, is stacked. I don't know that the competitive balance is really out of balance too much, but I do think that when you've got Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, Penn State all in your division, and you're going to be playing them every year, then that makes it more challenging for Indiana to kind of get over that hurdle. But I think a lot of people think that they're going to. I think they were really capable of doing it last year, and really nearly did. They had they were ready to roll into the end zone, into the end zone against Minnesota at home last year and win the game. And through what should have been a safe play, it was a swing pass to Tevin Coleman, but unfortunately the execution was faulty and the ball actually went backwards. And when Coleman couldn't hang on to it, it turned into a lateral and therefore a fumble. And that really cost Indiana that game. And that's how close they were to a bowl game last year. One play really kind of undermined them. And I think they're close again this year. I think they really have a chance to do it. They're going to have to overcome the schedule, which features only 6 home games. And they're going to have a defense which ranked, I believe, was 120th overall nationally last year. If they could get up to, say, maybe 80th, then I think they're going to be bowling.
Last minute here with Andy Graham talking Indiana football, and they do have their top 2 tacklers in David Cooper and Mark Murphy back. So as much as everyone's going to focus on Indiana's defense needs to get better, Andy, is there any place on the offense that they're taking a step back, or at least they've got to have some guys step up this year?
Yeah, wide receiver. They Cody Latimer, I mentioned him, went to the NFL. They had really good wideouts last year, big physical kids who not only could make plays, but they would block downfield. One of the reasons Tevin Coleman led the nation in 40-yard or more rushes, he had 8 of them last year, was because guys were blocking downfield and were very physical about it. And they graduated their top 2 wideouts and a key reserve. They have a kid back named Shane Wynn, who's 5'7", dynamo, really good player. But they're going to have some other newcomers step up. I do think they have talent there. So they have a kid named Dominic Booth, a 4-star recruit out of Indianapolis, who initially had verbaled to Tennessee, but is now decided to come stay closer to home and is going to play in Bloomington, who's a freshman who's going to be very good, I think. They have some size and some talent there. But that's really about the only area on offense that I think would be even remotely problematic. And defensively, I've seen some young kids. They had a lot of freshman linebackers play last year. Their incoming class is really good in terms of linebackers. There's a cornerback named Rashard Fant, who's a true freshman four-star, who came in and was in spring practice playing really well. I'm sorry, he's a redshirt freshman. He'll be a redshirt freshman in the fall, but he's a guy that might take over one of the corner spots. I'm seeing, you know, higher rated guys, Darius Latham, the defensive lineman, Antonio Allen, the safety. These were four-star recruits, and that's not the kind of guy Indiana was getting before Wilson arrived. In fact, people around here have been kind of sort of happily speculating what might actually happen with this staff recruiting if they ever actually have winning seasons and go to bowl games, because they've been recruiting very well under the circumstances. And so I think maybe the defense is still a year away. In fact, maybe the whole team is, because many of their best players are still going to be sophomores and freshmen. But I think people see more talent running around out there. They see something that looks more like a Big Ten football team running around out there. So I think people are fairly optimistic that Indiana's going to be very competitive. Really, they're the kind of team that that you don't necessarily want to match up with, because they're dangerous with the way they can score points.
Andy, we always like to ask our guests what you think the record for Indiana, for their school, is going to be, both regular season and within the conference.
Yeah, I really look at Indiana as being anywhere between 5-7 and 7-5. I mean, I think that I'm a little more on the optimistic side. I'm going to go 7-5. As far as it's, and that means I think they'll be roughly 500 in the conference. The non-conference schedule is fairly difficult. They have to play at Bowling Green, which is the best team in the MAC. They have to actually play them on the road. That was a bowl team last year. They have to play at Missouri, which won the SEC East last year. That's another road game. So it's going to be challenging, but I think that I see them going 7-5 and maybe 4-4 in the league.
Well, I think Indiana is going to be in a bowl game. I always like making the predictions before media days and then coming back after talking to everybody and see what it looks like. But, Andy, thanks for taking a couple minutes off your vacation, for sliding in today and talking Indiana football with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And we look forward to media days here in about 10 days.
It was a pleasure, and hopefully I'll see you guys up in Chicago.
Sounds good, Andy. Thanks for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Andy Graham, Bloomington Herald Times, and our Big Ten preview, 14 teams in 14 days. They started home with Indiana State. Then I was not sure how good Bowling Green would be this year, at Bowling Green, at Missouri, then Maryland and North Texas at home, at Iowa. And I'm going to tell you, that first half of the schedule is going to be their easier half of the schedule. The Purdue game is at the end of the year, which you have to chalk up. But in November, Randy, at Michigan, host Penn State, at Rutgers, at Ohio State. I don't care that Rutgers isn't going to be or shouldn't be as good as Indiana. You got three road games in 4 weeks with Michigan and Ohio State, the bookends. You have to think that, in my opinion, if Penn State takes just a step back, that might be a game they can get at home. I think this is a team that can go 6-6 and get in a bowl game.
Yeah, and they were going to have to make their hay early on. They are like 1-32 with 18 straight losses to Michigan on the road. So good luck with that one. That is not going to be an easy deal whatsoever. They hadn't ever beat Penn State until last year. They scored, I think, 21, 24 points in the fourth quarter last year and beat Penn State. Now, that was the first time they ever beat them. Now they have a chance to actually put together an actual winning streak against them, as they'll host them this year. And Penn State, I don't think, will be as good as they were last year.
And being in the East, their schedule's not going to get a lot easier when they don't play Nebraska, they don't play Wisconsin, a couple of the teams that people believe will be in Iowa. They do play, but that'll be at the top of the Western bracket. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Loper Great UNK's Justin Coleman going to join us. If you're getting ready for lunch or any time, go out. They had some great entertainment last night at Cunningham's. They were real busy. The courtyard, I mean, the weather's perfect to be outside and enjoy some great live entertainment, and it'll be there again for you tonight at Cunningham's. You can eat out in the courtyard. You can come inside, enjoy the air conditioning, go up to the loft. Depending what your party atmosphere is, they've got all kinds of places under one roof and under some really cool umbrellas out back. You can have some great lunch. The Wednesday lunch special, of course, is always the 8 delicious wings for $5. Thursday lunch special, beer and a pub burger for $6.49. Lunch specials every day, a new, bigger, expanded menu. Check out the skewers. Love those in the summertime. And happy hour every day from 3 to 6. Big ass beers, 3.5. Well drinks, only $1.50. When you're ready to have some fun or just to have an ice cold beverage and something to eat, Cunningham's Journal, the Loft and Courtyard, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty invites you to enjoy all the cruise night activities in Kearney this week. But please, keep it fun for everyone. Be safe. Be smart.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts or illnesses,
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 1 till 8. Saturday and Sunday, 11 till 5. Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagri.com.
Virgil Kincaid, you horn-toad, I'm calling you out.
Otis Chesterfield, what do you want with me, Sidewinder?
You bought the last three Nebraska Lottery Summer Red Scratch tickets from the Mercantile, and I want them.
So you could enter the 100K giveaway and be one of 15 people to win a share of $100,000?
That's right. Now draw.
You draw.
All right, hold it. Why don't you two just go home?
Stand aside, Miss Lucy. We got a score to settle.
First off, you can buy Summer Red Scratch tickets at any Nebraska Lottery retailer in town. Second, the longer you stand there, the less time you have to enter the 100K giveaway. And third, you guys do this every week and never fire a shot.
Well, golly, Miss Lucy, shooting would be downright unneighborly.
This is just sad.
Enter the 100K giveaway from the Nebraska Lottery. Details at nelottery.com. Must be 19. Please play responsibly.
You saying we ain't responsible?
Dog, shut up.
Yes, sir.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug and Randy Bushcutter with you here on this Wednesday, where the UNK Hall of Fame came out yesterday. We talked about that, and congratulations to those folks that are going in. And the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame also came out this week. Our Loper Link today is brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons they have loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, and we welcome in one of the newest members of the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame, Justin Coleman. I remember Justin just started his career when I came to Kearney to cover sports, and what a pleasure it was to watch Justin play football. Justin, thanks for the time on the Doug and Danny Show. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I know you love doing these interviews. Are you getting excited for this one?
Yeah, right up my alley.
Now, we had Russ Hochstein on yesterday, and he says, you know, it's kind of cool going in with guys I know, played with, and Barrett Rood and yourself, because you guys, same class, had some basketball battles against each other. What do you remember about that time that you spent with Russ Hochstein?
Russ is a good dude, good small-town guy with good values. And, you know, I played with each other on the Valentinos, like 15 in an all-star team in basketball. And then also he was on the opposite team of the Shrine Bowl. So had a run with Russ. He's just a good, lighthearted guy, but obviously a competitive guy. And you can tell a guy that's 6'4", whatever, 220, at age 15 can move like that. You knew to get him on the football field, can do some damage. So, I know he's just he's a humble guy. Worked hard his way up through Nebraska, and definitely deserved all the honors he got. And obviously had a great NFL career too.
Hey Justin, what are you doing now after you graduate from UNK?
Yeah, well, right now I'm working for a company called Abonte. So basically it's a sales job, just selling things that you can put your company or school logo on, from promotional items to stuff like that. So kind of been all over the board. I did a little bit in the golf business, did a little bit with the Medicare insurance. So kind of been here and there, but, you know, and still actually been helping coach in high school football for the last 4 or 5 years too. So kind of can't get too far away from football. So I really enjoy doing that, spending time with kids and still be around the game.
What high school are you working with out in Omaha?
We work with Omaha Bryan, Jeff Keiser, who was a couple years younger than me at UNK. As head football coach, so I kind of followed him from Wheaton Water to Omaha Bryan. So it's, you know, still kind of a building process, and, you know, we've kind of won one or two games the last couple of years, but it's still fun to be around. The kids are still fun to coach and help them learn.
Keys needs a lot of help, doesn't he, Justin?
More than you know.
Another good St. Paul kid. We're talking with Justin Coleman, of course, McCook native, and came right in and got to play his freshman year. He's going into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. Justin, talk about getting that opportunity. You know, you're getting recruited to UNK. That's your choice, and you play right away and don't really look back. Can you share with the listeners what that freshman year was like for you?
I mean, I did get the opportunity to redshirt, so I think that was big. I mean, obviously I liked Kearney, I liked the university, and then I liked the offense they were running at the time, and then I knew they had two senior quarterbacks that played my first year coming in, so I knew I'd kind of get the redshirt and learn it, and I think I was optimistic, but yet I think I was smart enough to know that I needed a year from high school to college. I knew it was a big jump, so kind of came in, tried to learn as much as I could, and then spring ball compete for the starting job, and, you know, was fortunate to win it. And just, you know, I don't care what people say, even from high school to Division II, it's still quite a jump, and, you know, it's so much faster game. Your thought process has to be so much faster. So, you know, that first game I had was still spinning and still waiting for things to slow down. And so as the year got on, it progressively slowed down for me, but it was a big step, and I just tried to learn as much as I could in my first year redshirt, and try to soak it all in and see what I could do for the upcoming fall season, which happened to be pretty successful my freshman year.
Justin, when you look back, I mean, you played in 45, 50 games somewhere in that neighborhood. Is there a game or something that kind of stands out in your memory a little bit different than all the others?
Yeah, I think it was the fortunate part was I stayed healthy and was able to basically start every game. I was basically eligible to play him. That was helpful. But as far as the game, I mean, I remember the atmosphere. It would have been my junior year, a home game at UNO. We ended up letting it slip away at the end. But that game sticks out as far as this atmosphere and people, you know, 4 or 5 rows deep around the field, and when they let them onto the field, basically, before they put the fence up. But you know, that one sticks out in my mind. And then, you know, obviously sometimes for some reason, you know, the defeat, the what-ifs kind of kick your mind. But as far as like a big win, I don't, you know, I remember the Wayne State game my freshman year. That was the coldest game I've ever been part of my life. And but, I mean, stuff like that, just kind of the funny ones like that. But as far as just games, there's not really a specific game that sticks out in your mind. But kind of more the losses, to be honest with you, that what ifs and the things of, you know, like why couldn't we have done this to win an RMAC when I was there?
Well, that, when you win as much as Justin Coleman and the Lopers did back then, obviously the losses stick out. Of course, the game that he's referring to his freshman year made national news, Randy, where you remember that, the whole field
snow,
was covered,
yeah,
and iced over, and it was almost
impossible. ESPN highlights, yeah.
It was pretty amazing. Justin, you've had all the accolades bestowed on you by UNK and the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference, which will now move into the MIAA, and I'm sure there'll be a Hall of Famer coming that way for you again, but to be recognized in the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame, which, let's face it, is full of Huskers, and then a handful of state college players, just your reaction when you found out about this and your thoughts about being in the Football Hall of Fame here in the state.
Well, kind of a funny story how I found out. A former McCookite, former Loper, Brennan Leach, sent me the tweet that UNK sent out, and that's how I found out that the letter that I was being inducted was in our mailbox, dated July 8th. So I found out probably about when everybody else found out. So I kind of reread it. I was like, you know, kind of like, what does this mean? So, but obviously it's a huge honor. As far as football, I don't like individual awards are great, but it's probably the greatest team game on the planet Earth. So for me to accomplish what I did, I couldn't have done it without teammates and coaches. But as far as just being a state of Nebraska, growing up in the state, football is kind of the blood life of the state with the big University of Nebraska. But I was just fortunate and to land in a place like Kearney, got a great community, great college, great people. And I had a blast. I wouldn't have done it any other way. Obviously I was asked to walk on in Nebraska, but I wanted the opportunity to go play 3-4, 2 years or whatever, but I wanted the opportunity to play college athletics. And obviously for me, I made the right decision. You can't blame kids for wanting to walk on, but I would argue that I had a lot more fun playing four years than I would have, sitting the bench playing practice squad at a place like the university. So, but as far as just the recognition, it's great. Hopefully it's great for, it's great for UNK, but hopefully it's more a reflection of my teammates and coaches and the people that was around at UNK at the time when I was there. So.
And Justin, you kind of mentioned that there's still some teammates that you still kind of see on a regular basis. Are you still in touch with some of the guys you used to play with?
Yeah, I think that's yeah, for sure. That's what I take about out of just athletics in general the most is just the relationships you made and that I still have with people. Obviously we play sports to compete and to compete on the field and to have fun and stuff like that, but we spend that much time with guys on and off the field for 5 years. You've obviously become great friends with them, and it's people that I still call on, people that I still see, people. There's still people that you don't really talk to every day, but then you see them at a UNK game, and it's just like back in the old days, just giving each other a hard time. So that's what I take away from it the most, just the relationships that you build through athletics and playing football, and just the time you spend with everybody.
Justin, was there a player or two that you kind of knew that when the pressure was coming, you needed to unload the ball somewhere, that there was a receiver or somebody like that you just kind of knew you could kind of look in their general direction? Are there some guys that really kind of stand out in that way?
Yeah, I mean, I got to play 1 year with Mike Smith, but that guy was kind of a gamer, practice. He had fun with practice, let's put it that way. But a game, it was serious, it was trying to compete. And I remember that first game, look at him like, this guy's a different dude when it gets game time. And so, fun to play with. And, you had people, Matt Cope and Jeb Hatch that kind of went through. But then the two guys that basically I came through with were Trevor Weston and Ryan Bedlin. And those are, two guys obviously I probably threw the ball to the most, just because I know Trevor played quite a bit as a freshman with me. And then, even Bedlin started playing a lot, as his freshman year into his sophomore year. So those are the guys I play with the most. And then there's guys that just kind of, I guess when you start for 4 years, you kind of play with a lot of people. But, Trevor and Ryan were kind of, just because we came in together and stuff like that, were the two guys I probably threw the most balls to and practiced with and can remember the most.
Well, Justin, congratulations. It was a joy to watch you play for the 4 years you were in Kearney, and congratulations on making it into the Football Hall of Fame.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Hey, you too, Justin. Appreciate the time. That's Justin Coleman, former UNK quarterback, heading into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. He'll be honored in Lincoln at a halftime of the Huskers game coming up in September, and a well-earned honor for Justin, who was the Harlan Hill runner-up back in 2000. This has been a Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank, as they have all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. For the seniors, they have those reverse mortgage loans as well. You have the reasons, they have the loans at CharterWest National Bank and Russ Smith. So great to see Justin Coleman, and he's got some Kearney connections, kind of has some family here in town, obviously in McCook as well, and it's a tremendous honor for him. He's one of only two guys at UNK to ever have their jerseys retired. So number five will never be worn again by another Loper. And making history as well, T&L Irrigation Systems. Don't forget that, you know, the rains, it's kind of cooler. It's kind of nice out right now. You don't necessarily think about how hot July usually is and how dry things usually are. Well, you can kind of not worry about that at all if you get the right system from T&L Irrigation System. They have manual speed and direction control. They have pivot point control, precision link, which means they can hook up right to your smartphone. You can just take care of that right from your pocket. It will just continue to move.
I heard the market guy saying it's perfect weather this week for the crops to grow.
Yeah, you can go out in a cornfield and hear it grow, especially if you've got it irrigated by T&L Irrigation, and they will get you all set up and keep things running the way they're supposed to.
Well, there you go.
Which is just what T&Ls do.
Was this hour seemed to blow by today?
Yeah, it went by very, very quickly.
Justin Coleman, thanks for him for joining us on the program today. Also, a big thank you to the rest of the gang. We'll get to that in a second. Anything else that we missed today?
Well, you know, I haven't had a chance to kind of go off on LeBron. I kind of like LeBron again. The reason I always was upset at LeBron was when you're a hometown kid and you're playing for your hometown team, and he was fortunate enough to be drafted by the neighbors, you know, going from Akron to Cleveland, and then you bail on him. To me, that bothers me. Well, if that's going to bother me, then I got to tip my hat when he goes back. You know, he didn't do it at a discount price, mind you, but he went back, and that's kind of neat to see. I kind of have the same kind of feeling when it comes to a guy like Alex Gordon. You know, he's kind of a royal. I mean, he's from the neighborhood. I really hope that he continues to have the type of all-star career that he's having and continues to do that, and the only jersey he ever wears, because that's what he wants to do, is a Kansas City Royals jersey.
And the save last night in the All-Star game went to the Twins closer, who was from right there at home. So
it's neat to see when that happens.
Cool story there as well. Hey, Nebraska football fans, they have set Fan Day Friday, August 1st, pretty early this year, 2 to 3:30. That's that usual 90 minutes at Memorial Stadium, the same I guess a routine as always. Nebraska opens their 125th season of Cornhusker football against Florida Atlantic August 30th. But Fan Day will be August 1st, and then practice gets underway right after that. So mark that on your calendars. If you want more information, go to Huskers.com.
And not everybody has Nebraska's tradition. Going back to Indiana a little bit, they've been in 9 bowl games in the history of Indiana football. 9. There's very few decades since the 1960s that Nebraska hasn't been to 9 bowl games. In fact, there hasn't been any since 1960, and they're not counting the current decade, of course, which we haven't had 9 seasons yet.
Also, one more update here. Michael Colgate has just lost the 15th hole, and so he's went from 1 up to 1 down. He's lost 2 of the last 3 holes. He is 1 down through 15. That means he has to win at least one of the next 3 holes to get into extra holes here at the U.S. Pub Links, and you got to be rooting for him after he's done so well, at least Get that one win.
Yeah, get that taste.
And see what happens there. So best of luck, and we'll update you on that. And again, Minden will play Blair in the state juniors tournament in Class B, and then Aurora will play the winner of the Holdridge-McCook contest. And in a Class C, if we have all of this figured out right, it will be Palmer-Wallback-Greeley playing the host Creighton, and Alma will take on Louisville in the opening round of the state tournament.
All wrapping up. Baseball will be over before you know it, and then we'll be rolling right into football.
Oh, crazy.
We're already kind of rolling into football with our 14 teams in 14 days. We're just about there.
Pat Hardy of the Iowa City Press Citizen, gives us a look at Iowa football tomorrow. Beth Swift will be joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show, going into the UNK Hall of Fame. If everything works out right, special guest tomorrow, special co-host. Hoping to have Coach Crocker from UNK co-hosting tomorrow.
Ah,
so
that'll be
crossing
fun.
My fingers, and we may have some special folks on the show. We do want to thank the folks that joined us today, previewing Indiana from the Bloomington Herald Times, Andy Graham, Justin Coleman, UNK great quarterback going into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame, and Donnie Miller, Minden junior coach, as they are headed to the state tournament. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, Randall.
It is also wing day over at Cunningham, so we'll be over there later.
Yeah. He's already left the building. Doug Duda saying, see you tomorrow,
no, I'm
folks.
Here.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.